my eyes to the world, the world that shines in you. Let me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your light that's shining free, I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world.
Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. How is everybody doing this evening? I want to thank William Vitalis for his beautiful opening song, Open My Eyes to the World. I have a very special guest with me tonight, and most of you are going to recognize him, but maybe you don't quite know where, but boy, I know that voice. Yes, you do. He is very well known for a lot of the voiceover commercials that you hear on radio and television, and his name is Dick Summer. And before Dick comes on, I just want everybody to know that we have been honoring the memory of 9/11 today, 15 years ago. Many of you who were here at that time remember where you were and what you were doing. And tonight we're going to be talking about comfort and perhaps how one can heal from such a sudden, tragic, horrid event. So everybody, I just want you to know that we are paying tribute to our lost souls, and Let's Find Out takes a bow in their memory. So good evening, Dick. How are you?
I am quite lifelike, Elizabeth, and yourself?
Well, I'm fine. And do you know where you were on 9/11?
I certainly do. I work out of my house, and I have an office down in my basement, and I was down there working away on a new commercial, and my friend Al Macy called, and he said, turn on the television. And Al was out of breath, and it was, whoa. So we turned on the television, and Peter Jennings was discussing what was going on. And we turned it on just in time to see the second plane hit.
Oh, boy.
And, oh, my God. That was a moment I guess nobody is going to forget. I did the NBC radio coverage of the tall shifts
in 1976.
Yeah, right. I did it from the top of the World Trade Tower. My wife, Barbara, worked in the World Trade Tower on the 34th floor, and she always used to say she hated to take the elevator up because it swayed back and forth. So nobody's ever going to forget that. And I grew up on 61st Street in Brooklyn, and we went back for a visit shortly after, and
you went to ground zero.
The dust was still in the streets.
It's horrible.
And some of the dust was human.
I believe it. I really do. You know, I had been up to New Hampshire. My niece had gotten married, and I was meditating. Actually, I was meditating in August before I bought my plane ticket, and I said, I want to come back on Tuesday. Should I come back Monday or Tuesday? I was asking my guides, and this is what I got back. No, you have to come back on Monday because on Tuesday no planes will be flying.
Really?
I thought that was very strange. So my girlfriend called me up. She was going to India. And she said, should I go on September 11th or September 18th? I said, you can't go on September 11th. And she said, why? I said, because no planes will be flying. She said, why, Elizabeth? I said, I have no clue. Absolutely no clue, but no planes will be flying. And maybe there's going to be a strike, or maybe the pilots are going to, you know, start saying we're not flying until we get paid more. That's kind of what I was thinking. And she said, but I'm going on Kuwait Airlines. And she bought the ticket anyway. Then, this is really strange, I was flying back on Monday. I had a 1 o'clock flight out of Manchester, New Hampshire, and we were diverted to Bader Field in Connecticut. You probably know Bader Field. And we sat in, it was a U.S. Air connection. We sat in the U.S. airplane for 3 hours. Finally, I said, something's going on. Why can't we get into Newark? And they said there was a fire near Hangar C, so they closed down the airport. Well, we got back to Newark at 5 o'clock, and all flights at Newark Airport were canceled. I saw the Secret Service running all around Newark Airport. You know, I was in aviation. That was my field. So I went to the back, and I talked to some of the people that were on duty that night, and I said, what is going on? And they said, well, we've had to close down the airport. I said, but something's going on, and you're not allowed to tell anybody. The Secret Service are here. So I wound up taking the last bus back to Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and my bags were shipped the next day. And I got off the bus, and I looked at my husband, and I said, there's something happening in New York, and it's going to happen tomorrow. They've closed down Newark Airport. And, of course, he thought I was crazy. Then in the morning, my cousin called me and said, turn on the television. And that's when I saw the Twin Towers. But I just thought that was all very strange.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
This is a little selfish, okay?
It's okay.
What's Putin up to?
Oh, my goodness, that's quite a question. Well, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that he's going to invade Europe if Donald Trump becomes president. And I think that he's planning on taking back some of the land that was lost after World War II. He's the wealthiest man in the world. Not only do I believe that, Dick, but I also believe that they've been doing more space programs privately without having to tell the public and the media. So there's an awful lot that we don't know. But I don't like what I see either. Are you uncomfortable with what you're watching?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about that nutcase in North Korea? Kim Dong-un or whatever his name is.
He's very dangerous. But I see something happening with him, although he is very, very dangerous. I think they're going to invade both South Korea and China. And I think there's war on both sides. You know, we have more than 1 million troops out. People don't know this. This isn't in the media. We have more than 1 million troops out. The Philippines and that area of the Pacific are filled with our troops, as is the Mediterranean Sea and other areas in the Atlantic. So it's just a hold and watch and wait. According to my intuition, which is pretty good sometimes, something's going to be happening before the end of this month that will be disappointing in the world.
Okay. You want to give me a clue?
I don't know what it is. I just know that we're it's ugly, it's evil, it's war, it's aggression. That's the only thing I can say. At this point, I don't have clarity as to exactly where, but it's not going to be easy.
You had a visual on the Twin Towers, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I had the visual when I did the meditation in August, but on January 1st in 2001, we had a New Year's Day party with my women's group over at my girlfriend's house, and we were cooking a wonderful turkey dinner, and everybody was having a good time. So, of course, you know, they all hit me up. Oh, sit down and tell us what's coming this year, because I had been very well known for a lot of other predictions I had given on New Year's Day. So I sat down in a big comfortable chair and I looked at everybody. There were about 30 people there. And I said, the Twin Towers are going to fall this year. They're going to fall like feathers. And it's going to happen right after Labor Day and school starts. So they all said, oh, well, we want to hear some good things. I said, well, this Twin Towers event is going to change our lives. But, of course, then everybody wanted to have their own personal, and nobody wanted to hear about the world, so yeah. We changed the subject. It was powerful.
Yeah. I have a small airplane, and I flew one of my granddaughters from home here up to Massachusetts, and I was vectored right over the site of the World Trade Tower. This was, I don't know, a couple of weeks after the situation, and there was still smoke coming up.
Right. It didn't stop for months. And they kept telling everybody it wasn't dangerous to the body. That was the most dangerous smoke. I'm going to tell you something else I think of, and I'm just going to say this as a thought. Right or wrong, I don't know. Let me just say it as a thought. I believe that in every some kind of tool closet or utility closet, there was a bomb on every floor, and I believe that those bombs were triggered remotely as a part of what happened.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
You're a very spiritual person. I'm not.
I know. But you're getting there.
No, that's fine. The guy I studied with, as far as hypnosis is concerned, is a guy by the name of Milton Erickson. And Milton Erickson was a medical doctor, and as a matter of fact, he was the president of the AMA for a while.
Right, he was.
And you know about Milton Erickson?
I do, because I knew Harry Ahrens.
Okay. For those people who don't know, he was a very distinguished guy. But he was a hypnotherapist, and he practiced wearing a purple cape and an Indian medallion, which is a little unusual. You walk into a doctor's office, and he's wearing a purple cape and an Indian medallion. But he was, as far as I'm concerned, kind of the father of indirection. His biggest statement was, "We don't know what we don't know." That's really something when you get it into your head.
Oh, I love that statement.
Yeah, and it, one of the things that I was impressed with, and Elizabeth, you probably enjoy this too, because you know I know you have an understanding of hypnotherapy. As you probably know, there are a lot of people who, therapist shop, you know. I'm sure you do, yeah. You know, they want to say, well, I want to stop smoking, but Dr. So-and-so couldn't help, and Mr. So-and-so, do you think you can help? He had a person like that sent to him once, and the woman came in for the appointment, and he sat down, and he looked at her for about 5 minutes.
Neat.
He didn't say a word.
That's
but
right.
Then he said, the time is up. He concluded the thing and sent his bill. And the woman called up just beside herself because it was a substantial bill. And she said, but you didn't do anything. And he paused and he said, are you sure?
I love it.
Well,
you know, that's fabulous, because what he was stopping was her daring. I dare you to do it. I dare you. Go ahead. You can.
Yeah, exactly.
He was
right.
Helping her actually open instead of continually shutting down and playing the games.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful technique, the technique of silence, and I've used it often. It really does work.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got started in all this. You've done wonderful things to help people, Dick. You really, really have. How did you get started? A pilot, a radio, disc jockey going to hypnosis?
Well, it's really interesting. I went to Fordham, and they kicked me out after a while. After 4 years, they kicked me out, and I've had an insecurity ever since then. It started when I was very young, Elizabeth, because I was born in February in Brooklyn. It was very cold, and can you imagine how difficult it is for a little child to nurse through a wool sweater? It's not easy.
That's pretty interesting.
One rejection after another. So after Fordham kicked me out, I decided that I had to get a job. I mean, it was really ugly, but, you know, sometimes you got to do that. And I always wanted to be on the radio. I used to listen to a guy by the name of William B. Williams. Now,
you I knew him, too. He was on Long Island.
Yeah, he was at WNEW in New York.
He was
that was the station I listened to. And make a long story short, I got to work with him at WNEW.
That's neat.
Oh, my good Lord. I was doing the morning show on the FM station, and about 15 or 20 minutes before I got finished with the show, the door to the studio opened. A light shone down from heaven. The Norman Luboff Choir hit a chord, and Willie B. was standing in the room with me, and he said, "You sound fine, kid. welcome to the staff.
Oh, that is wonderful to hear. See, you were good. You were good.
Oh, so, my Lord.
Then you went on from there, and of course you had your own disc jockey show, but you opened Quiet Decisions, and I would love to hear about that. That's where I met you in 1984.
Yeah. Well, I remember that. What happened was I got fired at WNBC, okay? Now, I'm from Brooklyn, and I always wanted to work at WNEW or WNBC. And I got fired by Bob Pittman, along with Wolfman Jack and Bruce Morrow and Don Imus and a couple of other people.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was the Pittman Purge, we called it. So on the way home from my last night on the air, I was talking to my wife, and she said, well, what are you going to do? And you know, I kind of give snap answers every once in a while. And so what I said was, I think I'll open a hypnotherapy practice. And she said, okay, whatever you want to do. Now, Barb is a very smart lady. She
yes.
understood very well that we were about to swap a good-paying job at a major radio station for a new venture. And I don't have to explain it to you. That is a very big step. But Barb has taken very big steps with me a lot of times. And so that's how we started Quiet Decisions.
And it worked.
Yeah,
You had some of the top people coming in. And you know what you focused on back in 1984, before other people were, except for Louise Hay, you focused on women and women's pain. And they didn't get that kind of attention.
I like women.
It was a refuge. It was a refuge. And
I like women, and we can start another whole conversation about that.
Well, you know, you've continued on, and you have a wonderful website that I absolutely love. Tell me about Night Connections. We're gonna have the pleasure of working with Quiet Hands tonight. I want the listeners to know that you're not only going to be able to meditate at the end of the show with some of Dick's work, but the cosmic tip is all about quiet decisions. And it's important. I love the name Quiet Decisions, and I love the fact that you, Dick Summer, were teaching people how to go inside and listen to that little voice. Now, that's beyond hypnosis. So how did you get there, Dick?
You're a very spiritual person. I'm not.
Okay.
I think about the concept of free will once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we had free will, we would have free won't. And we don't.
Well, we do, because you can say no.
Yeah, but it's tough. You get somebody who's trying to stop smoking, for example, as
example.
And he can't.
Yeah, the subconscious doesn't hear no is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the little voice inside is very powerful.
Yes.
I think the little voice inside is more powerful than all the rest of you put together. Sometimes it works for the positive and sometimes it doesn't.
And I wish people realize that, but that's absolutely true.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really mean that. That means a lot to me. So I think coming from that perspective is the basic reason why I set things up the way I did at Quiet Decisions. You believe in a spiritual approach, and I believe that we just don't know what we don't know.
Well,
I have no idea the extent of what your unconscious mind can do.
Well, I don't think anybody does.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. But the sages and the yogis of all time go way, way, way back, teach you how to get quiet and go within. In fact, that's part of both the Talmud and the Bible. go within or go to God, they would say it, or go within and listen to your quiet voice and don't listen to soothsayers or astrologers or tarot readers or anything like this. You can listen to them and you can take what they say with a grain of salt, but you are the one that chooses who you are. You are the one that chooses your decisions. And when there is a block, when you tell yourself something, but you see yourself actually doing something different than what you're telling yourself, then you're in a struggle. Then there's something that isn't healed. Yeah. Something that's off center, correct? You're out of balance.
Yeah, I think that a reasonable question, you always hear people saying, well, you got to control yourself. Well, who is this self you have to control?
The inner, it's called the etheric body. It's the invisible you.
Well,
and Dick, have you ever had an out-of-body experience?
I'm not sure.
That's why you may have trouble understanding what I'm saying, but we do have an invisible body, and that invisible body can move and go places when you learn. It was natural for me, so it's hard for me to understand that one doesn't know about it or have an identity with it. I was doing it since the time I was born, but it's the same thing as sitting down and mulling and thinking about London. Let's say you're down in your office in your basement, you're thinking about London, and you get a feeling about London, and you get a feeling about the weather, and maybe you go and think about Harrods department store, and you go browsing in your mind. We've all done things like this. And actually, you can train yourself to get very clear and to actually know what the weather is in London, what it feels like, and what that store feels like if you keep concentrating on it. It's amazing.
Well, that's very good. And you are obviously a visual person, too.
Yes.
I am more audio-centered.
There's three types. There's clairvision, there's clairaudience, and there's also clairsentience. That's when your hair stands up on end on the back of your neck. I do all three.
Yeah, I know you do. As a matter of fact, you met my wife, Barbara. I don't remember exactly how it was, but she says many times that when she met you, the hair on the back of her neck stood up.
I remember meeting Barbara. She was lovely. I met her at your office several times.
She still is.
I'm sure. And you have your daughters, and they're doing great. So I want to know, let's talk a little bit more about free will, Dick, and what you would do with a client that couldn't stop smoking, even though he tried to tell himself to stop smoking.
Well, one of the things that I believe in very much is self-image. Now, what I used to do at Quiet Decisions was, as soon as videotape recorders became available, I put one in the office. And I would sit down and talk to a client for a while and just get the client to loosen up and just have a nice, interesting conversation. And then I'd get the conversation around to a point where we were dealing with something that was very important to the client. Because generally speaking, I could develop a point where the client said something very definitive. You know, I really believe this, something like that.
Okay.
And what I would do is keep playing that part of the interview back for the client.
So that they could begin to believe it inside.
What I wanted them to do was do my little triggering system, which you may remember. It's just a little quirky relaxation self-hypnosis. To break the chain of what was going on, and then remember the image that took place, and do whatever the person who was making that statement would do. Now, I've used this myself. I'm a pilot, and I have quite a few hours in the left seat, so You can't fly for a very long time without getting into some kind of difficulties.
Turbulence.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
And I've used this this method myself, and I think it's saved my life.
Take 3 deep breaths. Will you say it for us? I love it when you say it.
Take 3 deep breaths. Run your thumb across your fingertips and say your name with respect.
Yes. Now, you made several back then cassette tapes that had programs on them to help. You made a weight tape, you made a pain tape, you made a smoking tape and self-esteem. The one that I have worked with the most, and I still use it, is the little seat in the top of your head, and the captain gets behind the wheel and moves the body. The body's in the bathtub. And so I've used that for people with muscular dystrophy, and they have been able to move their legs.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's marvelous.
It is marvelous. And I've used it for somebody that's had a broken leg and is or had knee surgery and is trying to get the fluctuation back again. They'll get into the tub, and I'll tell them to take 3 deep breaths and listen to their name said with respect and to play soothing music, whatever music gives them comfort. And everybody has different choices on that. And quiet music, and just to go in and you're the captain in your head, and you're pulling the strings in your body like a puppet. And it works, Dick. It was amazing.
You said a word there, and I you probably said it on purpose. If there is a single word that is most important in hypnotherapy, the word is comfort. If I can make you comfortable, I can release whatever powers you have to heal yourself.
Right.
But I got to make you comfortable first.
Don't you think that comfort equals subconscious trust in some way?
You know, one of the big differences, one of the things I should mention is I've read a little bit of your new book, and I am blown away by...
You took me out of ascension?
By your attention to detail in it, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Well, it's true. I mean, you don't have to, blush and look down at your big toe and make little circles on the ground. It's just a fact. And anybody who, when is your book coming out, by the way?
Oh, with the new one, Unlimited Realities, which is my memoir. It's going to be ready. I only have 2 chapters to go. I've had 18 chapters. I think it'll be out by Christmas.
Well, that's good. That's great.
Yeah, that is great. I've been writing it a long time.
What is the title of the book? I don't remember.
Unlimited Realities.
Oh, a little bit like Hypnotic Realities.
But it's perfect because we have unlimited realities, and how we perceive things is unlimiting, don't you think? And we can either perceive it as negative or perceive it as positive. And when you get into the joy or the bliss, those are so spiritual words, but when you get into the focus, you might want to use that as mainstream, of your favorite thing that you really want to accomplish, and you put all that energy into it, you can create it, you can manifest it.
Well, that's very true, and I don't know what our limitations are.
Probably none. Remember, we have other universes and other galaxies and other life on other planets everywhere that we don't know about, so the little we know is the little we don't know, right?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things to keep in mind is that I think we limit ourselves. You know, if we're looking for life on other planets, we keep looking for water, basically, because without water, there is no coffee. And without coffee...
Oh, we can't deal with it without coffee.
But you know, we keep looking for the aliens. And... Aliens don't have to be little green guys who come down on, what do we know? Life forms don't necessarily have to live on a planet.
Well, life forms, to me, are energetic. So if you're putting, I heard on the news that they were putting ammunition and weapons around our planet to protect us from aliens, which I started to laugh. I laughed so hard I doubled over because, you can't put a bullet through a light beam.
Yeah, right.
It'll go right through.
They're like, right.
So there's all different kinds of life, and we just aren't there yet. Some of us are. Some of us have traveled the other realms, the other dimensions, but very, very, very few.
The near-death experience is something that people bring up a lot. I think that this is, it's a very valuable thing to think about. I think before we can define a near-death experience, we have to figure out what a life experience is. You know, what is a life? What is a human life?
Well, the difference between soul travel and a near-death experience is this. When you have a near-death experience, something has happened to stop the body from functioning. For example, I had one when I was in the car accident with my son. And my heart stopped in the ambulance. And, you know, if your heart stops beating, they consider you dead. So, but I came back and I did have a near-death experience. In other words, I had imagery while I was not in the body or while my body wasn't functioning. That's a near-death experience. But an altered state experience or working with your aura experience is you do it while you're awake, like going to London. That is an out-of-body experience. That is not a near-death experience.
Well, interestingly, people of the political consideration keep insisting that life starts right at conception. And there are other people who say, no, life starts you know, at other times. Well, you know, we keep arguing with ourselves. I think that's the main thing we do, is argue with ourselves.
That's true.
You know, when does life start? But there is research now that suggests that unless there is some kind of catastrophic situation that happens, you don't die all at once. Some parts of you.
Well, that's true.
Well, yeah, okay. Now that gets into my head as being a little weird.
Okay, but you know, the body deteriorates as it deteriorates. It rots as it rots, if you want to say it that way. But there's also something that us spiritual people talk about, and that's life review. And life review can take several years. And therefore, you're processing this lifetime when you're in your soul pod or when you're in your other place that after you leave the body. And the most interesting thing is that 3.5 pounds leaves everybody at death. Doesn't matter who it is. 3.5 pounds goes. And so a lot of us think that that is the soul. That's the part that was hosting and giving life. Because the one thing we haven't learned to do, Dick, is give life.
It's a very interesting idea. I think that idea is very old, too. I've heard that from before they kicked me out of Fordham. The measuring the body just before and shortly after death,
yes,
is something that goes back a lot of years.
Sure. That's a piece of science that we're hanging on to. We're at the half hour, and I would like you to give out your website.
Oh, okay. It's dicksummer.com.
That's good. And I'm Elizabeth Joyce. My website is new-visions.com. And I'm going to be back with Dick and more questions and studying and happy, healthy, and hot answers after the break.
You might want to explain what that's all about.
Well, when we come back.
Okay.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. we will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking dates for October through the end of the year. Thank you for your consideration. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Tonight, our cosmic tip is presented from Dick Summers' Quiet Hands. This has a lot of information about you, things perhaps you didn't know about yourself that you can put to good use. So sit back and listen to Dick as he teaches us about quiet hands.
You've trusted your body to quiet hands. You've trusted your emotions to quiet hands. You can even trust your decisions to quiet hands. There's something on your mind right now. It's a tough decision. And there is a yes or a no answer for it. Think about it for just a minute. In one sentence, what is that question that's in your mind? And while you're thinking about that question, just stretch a little bit, get comfortable, and maybe take a deep breath and let your eyes close. And when you have that question clearly in mind, in one sentence, yes or no, should you stay with someone or not? Should you do something in the business world or not? Some yes or no question. On one of your hands, you can actually begin to feel these quiet hands. Fingertips to your palm, a very gentle but very strong touch. And that feeling can become more and more distinct until the quiet hand on your hand can be a very comforting feeling, and you can sort of lean into it emotionally as well as physically. And when that quiet hand takes yours and makes you feel strong, comfortable, and secure, just ask that question as if there were someone very wise there with that quiet hand. And if the answer to the question is yes, you'll feel the quiet hands squeeze your hand once. If the answer to the question is no, it'll be two squeezes of your hand from the quiet hand. If the answer is yes, one squeeze. If the answer is no, two squeezes. And after you get that answer, that quiet hand just holds yours, comforts you. You have a right to that. It's your feeling. On quiet hands.
Thank you so much, Dick. And now, let's get back to Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce and Dick Summer. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I wanted to give you an awareness about my fall calendar because we have some wonderful opportunities for education and learning coming up. First of all, on Thursday night, September 29th, I begin my Intuitive Awareness classes, Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity. These classes are 10 in length, and they happen on Thursday nights, and they happen in my home in the Doylestown, Pennsylvania area. So if you're listening and you'd like to have information, The number is 215-996-0646. On October 1st and 2nd, 2016, I am giving a fall spiritual intensive. These are intensives that I've been giving four times a year for the past 30 years. They are designed to help you open your heart and to open up your fifth dimension energies, to open up your third eye and crown chakra to experience ascension while manifesting your soul's purpose. The time to begin is now. These workshops are based on seeding and nurturing the garden of your soul and the new spiritual chakras and how to work with them. The abundance charge for each day is $100, and both days is $180. For further information, you can go to the website new-visions.com and go under calendar of events. Everything is listed there for you. The third thing I'm doing is my first real spiritual chakras workshop. This is an introduction class as well as an experiential class. The weekend is October 8th and 9th, 2016, in Newtown, Pennsylvania. I am working at Solutions with Honey, and we are going to have a class. The Saturday class, October 8th, introduces you to the new spiritual chakras one by one. And the Sunday class, October 9th, is the meditation class. Through deep meditation, you will begin the journey and open your first spiritual chakra, the eighth chakra. This is very exciting, very thrilling, and very, very new. So we will all be working on them together. And it promises to be a heartwarming, growing, and wonderful spiritual experience. I will also be giving readings and lecturing at the Psychic Fair on the weekend of October 22nd and 23rd at the Firehouse in New Hope, Pennsylvania. And for further information, you can check my website. The next date that I have booked is Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th. This is my twice-a-year fall psychic fair, and it's always done for charity. This is where we have the community come together. We have psychics from the New Jersey and Pennsylvania area. We have wonderful vendors, and we also have body workers, people that are working on your energy to help you feel terrific. You can create your own spa day with body work, having a reading, and hearing a lecture at your own convenience. Bring a friend. It's fun. We will have lectures every hour, and this particular fair benefits the Bucks County Veterans Services on the 5th and the Breathing Room Foundation on the 6th. The Breathing Room Foundation is an organization helping to support families that have children with cancer. It's a wonderful, wonderful charity. So that's it for now. I hope that you will think about having these workshops. Again, you can go to the website new-visions.com, or you can give me a call on the 24-hour answering service, and that is 201-934-8986. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Next week, September 18th, we have an exciting guest. His name is Michael J. Russ. He's an author and founder of Zero Adversity. He helps us eliminate adversity forever. Adversity is a hidden form of human suffering that exacts a huge toll on our time, energy, productivity, relationships, and attitude. In a world that's increasingly being dominated by technology, media, fear, greed, and all manner of unforeseen events, the way we perceive and respond to what happens within and around us is a great impact on our happiness. It also affects our fulfillment, joy, and prosperity more than ever before. 30 years ago, as a result of this personal and professional adversity associated with pursuing a high-pressure career, Michael developed a deceptive but simple way to efficiently process and let go of unfortunate, misfortunate, and challenging life events. You know what they say, there's always something to distract our focus. The process is called Zero Adversity, and it involves three practical steps: perceive, respond, and let go, and was first outlined in his international best-selling book, Zero Adversity, Three Steps to Freedom, Fulfillment, and Creating an Authentic Life. I'm excited to speak with Michael next week, and I know that he's going to show us how to apply this awareness and how to use intention to help us reshape our approach and responses to life. So don't forget to tune in to hear Michael Russ at Let's Find Out, 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific, Sunday evening, September 18th. And I thank all of you BBS Radio listeners for choosing to listen to Let's Find Out.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Living is a dream when you make it seem enchanted. Lovers take for granted all the world's glow. They ought to know when you touch a star, then you really are enchanted. Find the seed and plant it. Love will make it grow.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and I want to thank the Platters for that song, Enchanted, which I picked for Dick Summer, because I believe that Dick Summer and his work with Quiet Decisions makes everybody feel enchanted.
Well, that's
thank you, Dick, for being on.
That's very special. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Tell us about staying happy, healthy, and hot.
All right, Staying Happy, Healthy, and Hot is my new book, and the subtitle is We're the Brand New Louie Louie Generation. You remember the song Louie Louie?
Louie Louie, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Shakespeare.
It's interesting, almost every day. I asked a 19 or 20 year old kid a couple of weeks ago if he remembered, and he did. There's something just about that song that is interesting. But the book is basically about my life with my lady Wonder Wench, which is what I call Barb, and talks about the true daily struggle that all Louie Louie lads and ladies must wage against the clueless pimple people who walk around texting and sticking nails through their tongues, and the dreary drones who have been around for a long time, but they just keep going around and around and around, sopping up beer and daytime TV, you know. But Louie Louie lads and ladies don't have rock-hard abs and perky breasts anymore, like the people in the TV beer commercials. But that doesn't mean we have any intention of living our lives like lumps of lukewarm meat.
They're too busy being enchanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing that you do that I love is you talk about the night and how powerful the night is and what we can give ourselves and others in the night. So talk a little bit about that.
Nighttime is... I've spent a long time on the radio, right? I've done mornings, I've done middays, I've done afternoons, I've done evenings. But overnight is an amazing thing on a powerful radio station. I sat in the second floor, Studio 2B, at NBC Radio. And I talked to most of the country at night. Now, in the daytime, you know, people are running around doing their business. The radio is kind of a noise in the background. But at night, the person on the air is really the only connection that a lot of people have with the outside. And that's where I did a series of CDs called Night Connections.
Right. They're excellent.
Well, thank you very much. The reason is that you make a connection at night if the station lets you. Unfortunately, right now, most radio stations don't have anybody really on the air at night. It's almost all on a network, or it's pre-recorded or whatever. But I was on the air in Boston one night, and there was a hurricane. And we were taking phone calls. And this guy called up and he said, my house is on the beach. And he was explaining where it was. And he said, the waves are getting pretty. And then it stopped.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened to him. I was on the air when Martin Luther King was shot. Mm-hmm. And I am obviously a white guy, you know. But I cared.
Sure.
And the caring comes across in a voice.
It does.
Or it doesn't. It either does or it doesn't. And that's one of the powers of nighttime radio. And the Night Connections CDs, there are three of them, and they're based, they're not totally, but they're based mostly on ideas that people called up in the middle of the night to tell me about.
Oh, wow. So that's helped to make you a master storyteller. But I will tell you, I love your is it Quiet Hands?
Yeah.
I love that. You just sent that to me the other day, and we're going to be meditating to the one that you did, that you suggested that we would try, the Strong Silent Voice. And I think it's really important because, again, that's getting in touch with our inner self. But when you listen to it, and you listen to it in the evening, it's almost like you have a romantic partner with you, which could
see,
be
there you are.
Your real person.
Yeah, Elizabeth, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is exactly right.
So you feel consoled, and you can feel caressed, and you can feel loved in the way that human beings understand love. And it's there's something warm about it, there's something comforting about it, but there's also something quite beautiful about it, because a part of you relaxes or yields to that voice or that thought in a non-voluntary way.
You just used that word comfort again.
Well, you did.
Think about that. Think of it, because you can use that in your work. The more comfortable you can make somebody, the more effective your techniques can be.
Well, I think that's part of what people say, universal love, or, you know, use kindness. Kindness is fine. But again, it's that voice thing. If you don't have kindness in your heart, any kindness you do isn't going to be felt the way it would if you were a caring, caressing, loving storyteller.
Good. Exactly right.
And that's what you give. So it's good.
Well, thank you very much. The spokesperson in my book, Staying Happy, Healthy, and Hot, I call him Big Louie, the chief mustard cutter of the Louie generation. And he has advice. He says, for example, we can't change what is, but we can change what we think about what is and what we do about it. He also says, honesty equals the truth plus maybe. And he says, when you still have some moving parts left, for crying out loud, move them.
That's true.
Well, that's what Big Louie does. And I like Big Louie. The funny part about it is I find myself quoting Big Louie once in a while.
You wrote it and then you quote it. That's
yeah,
cute.
It's almost like the small, quiet voice in your head wrote this, you know?
It's funny what you said about Moob, and I want to add to that a little bit. I know a lot of people out there have fibromyalgia, and maybe also they gain weight when they don't want to. And both things require movement of the body. And I don't know why, Dick, we don't move more. We don't stretch more. We don't walk more. But it's so healthy for us if we do it on occasion.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Atrophy, right? Like wood. So anyway, it's been wonderful having you on. And what I'd like to do next time, I'd like to have you on maybe late October, early November, just before the holidays. And you can answer people's questions about connections and what specifically they might need to help heal or feel better. And you also can help with the beginnings of relationships and maybe making relationships a little stronger.
Wow. I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
So anyway, I would be delighted to do that.
That would be nice to do. And we have to go. We're going to go into the meditation. Thank you, Dick, for being with me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that goes two ways. Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate it.
And the meditation is by Dick Summer, and it's called The Strong Silent Voice. And this
Getting
is Elizabeth Joyce. Let's find out. And I want to say good night. Thank you for listening.
And you know that inside you there is a little voice. Every once in a while you can hear it. Sometimes it warns you, sometimes it reminds you of things that you're supposed to do. Sometimes it does things you don't like. Sometimes it makes you feel guilty. Sometimes it says, go ahead, smoke when you're trying not to smoke. Or, hey, that piece of candy looks awful good when you're trying to diet. And a lot of times we spend a lot of effort trying to still that little voice. And in a way we shouldn't, because that little voice really is a part of you too. And quiet hands with tender fingertips now, just reaching all the way down inside you to touch that little person inside, because that little person inside has feelings and thoughts, and that little person inside is sometimes scared, and these quiet hands now can touch that little person inside and caress that person inside you and make that little person inside feel comfortable and cared for. All the way deep down inside, and that feeling of the tender fingertips of these quiet hands reaching all the way in there. And that little person inside has thoughts and even desires that you don't even know about. But that little person inside you now, if she wants, can allow these tender fingertips and these quiet hands to fill some desire that she's never even really been able to say to you. And you can begin to understand what that little person needs inside, and that little person can feel the tender fingertips touching and caressing and whatever else she needs. The tender touch of the quiet hands. Thank you.